Thank you. Good day, friends. Again, we come to you with studies and the second epistle of Paul to the Corinthian church. I have been reveling in these chapters because it gives to me an intimation of how Paul felt toward the churches of God. My, what a heart this man had for God. And because he had a great heart for God, he had a great heart for God's people. Do you remember when you come to chapter 11 of this book, where he relates to us all his sufferings, what he went through, and then he added, and above all this, the care of the churches upon me. My, how this man loved God's people. Do you? Do you? Then you'll manifest it in patience, even in the time of tribulation. And as we've been discussing Paul's experience in the book of Corinthians, the second book, I just trust that the Lord may speak to your heart. I trust you speak to my heart. That each one of us may realize that we're workers together with God in this great, tremendous task of bringing to a world in sin the wonderful, wonderful message of His grace. That our Savior came just because He loved us. Just because He loved us. He put away the barrier between God and man. Reconciled us to Himself. Why? Because He wanted us not only in a place of relationship, but one of intimate fellowship with Him. Now, we've been discussing that in these past few chapters. We've been dealing with the ministry in chapter 4 down to chapter 7. These four chapters, 4, 5, 6, 7. And starting in at chapter 8 and 9, we have the collection for the saints. Now he changes his whole program. Now he begins to talk about their responsibility, not only to God, but to other Christians. Now, in these past four chapters, we've been dealing with Paul dealt with being diligent in the ministry, his experience in the ministry, his hope in the ministry, his responsibility in the ministry, or the word of reconciliation, and his patience in the ministry in spite of all opposition, persecution, etc. He was patient through it all. And then in our last lesson on the comfort of the ministry, how he was comforted because the word of God had taken effect in the lives and hearts of these Corinthian Christians. Remember this, especially if you've been following with us in 1 Corinthians, how Paul took off the gloves, if I may use that term, and in no uncertain sound brought up their sins and what it meant to God and what it meant to them. Now we come to the collection of the saints, or if I might change the heading, the grace of giving in chapters 8 and 9. The grace of giving. Now I want to read the first few verses, the first five verses, because here he gives to us the illustration of giving, or the example of how to give. Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia. How that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and the deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. For to their power I bear record, and beyond their power they were willing of themselves, praying us with much entreaty that we should receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministry of the saints. And this they did, not as we had hoped, but first they gave themselves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God. Let me just stop here for a few moments. Here is the example of giving. The source of giving is the grace of God. You'll notice, take the background of all this, we had it in 1 Corinthians. The Jerusalem church was in a place of suffering. They were very, very poor. And Paul is very desirous that the Gentile Christians should help their Jewish brethren in Jerusalem. And the source of this was found in the grace of God. Look at that first verse. Moreover, brethren, we do you to understand or to wit of the grace of God bestowed upon the churches in Macedonia, of how they gave out of the abundance of their poverty. Now, if you notice all the way down, how he speaks of the grace of God. For example, in verse 1, you have the grace of God. In verse 6, insomuch as we desire Titus that as he had begun, so he would finish in you the same grace also. In verse 7, that in your love to us, see that you abound in this grace also. In verse 9, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that we through his poverty might be made rich. Verse 19, you see, not only that, but who also was chosen of the churches to travel with us, which is administered, or with this grace, which is administered to us to the glory of the same Lord and declaration of your mind. And if I might go on to the last verse of the passage of the chapter, wherefore show you to them and before the churches the proof of your love, the proof of your grace, of our boasting on your behalf, the grace of giving. Now, I am well aware of the fact that when we take up these two chapters, we're going to talk about how we should give, the purpose behind giving, how we should give, how much should we give, so on. I'm well aware of the fact that much of this has been distorted in a great desire to get money. Oftentimes, the Word of God has been distorted. And I don't want you to be that way. I want you to see what the Word of God has to say concerning this matter of giving. So we come down to the first five verses, the example of giving. First five verses. Here was a Macedonians were not wealthy. They were poor. As you find over here in verse 2, in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. And it was so much they gave beyond their power that they had to entreat Paul to take it. Boy, you know, I've never had that experience where people try to pour upon us their financial giving. Wonderful thing. They beseech Paul. They made Paul take it. But what was the key of it? Verse 5. They first of all gave themselves to the Lord, and then they gave themselves unto us, unto the will of God. In other words, they were willing. This giving by the Macedonian church was one that was the result of a heart of love for the Savior. They were so entranced with the grace of God, what God had done for them, that when they found that the saints of God at Jerusalem were in need and poverty-stricken, they gave out of the abundance of their poverty. But they first of all gave themselves to the Lord, and they gave themselves to Paul. You see, God wants us to give out of willing hearts. God never wants anything from you or me if we're not willing to give it. I'm going to read to you today from the book of Exodus, chapter 25. I'm doing this because you have the same wonderful principle of giving. In verse 25, they're going to build a tabernacle. They need gold, they need precious stones, and so on. And listen to this. The Lord said to Moses, speak unto the children of Israel that they bring me an offering of every man that giveth it willingly with his heart shall take my offering. The first thing was, it was to be a willing gift. Now you turn over to chapter 35, and we have the same thing in 35. Verse 5, take you from among you an offering unto the Lord. Whosoever is of a willing heart, let him bring it, an offering to the Lord, of gold, silver, or of brass. Go on to verse 21. And they came, the people of Israel came, every one whose heart stirred him up, every one whom his spirit made willing. They brought the Lord's offering to the work of the tabernacle. Verse 22. And they came, both men and women, as many as were willing-hearted. And they brought their bracelets and their earrings and so forth all the way down. In verse 26, and all the women whose hearts stirred them up in wisdom, and so on. Here you have a willing heart. In verse 29, and the children of Israel brought a willing offering unto the Lord, every man and woman whose heart made them willing to bring for all manner of work. The Lord, by the way, doesn't want anything that's not of a willing heart. And you know, the amazing thing is, in this chapter 36, the same book, in verse 2, "And Moses called Bezalel and Aholiab, every wise-hearted man in whose heart the Lord had put wisdom, everyone whose heart was stirred him up to come to do the work." In verse 3, "They brought unto him free offerings every morning." And then verse 5, "And they spake unto Moses and said, The people bring much more than enough for the service of the Lord, which the Lord commanded to make." In verse 6, "So Moses said to them, Let neither man nor woman make any more work for the offering of the sanctuary. So the people were restrained from giving, for the stuff they had was sufficient for all the work to make it, and it was too much." Brother, I've never had that experience. But I want you to mark one thing. God does not want unwilling offerings. Everyone whose heart stirred him up, like you have with these Macedonian Christians, these poor Christians, the grace of giving was because they loved the Lord. And they gave themselves first to the Lord, and then they gave themselves to us, Paul and the apostles. They gave themselves first to the Lord. You know, when we come to that place where we give ourselves first to the Lord, that's all he wants. The rest just follows right along. If I've given myself first to the Lord, all that I have belongs to him. I'm only a steward. You are only stewards. And when God puts into the hearts of people who are willing to walk before him, they'll be willing to give. They will not lack this grace of giving. So the first thing was the example. And then in verses 6 to 11, the principle of giving. The principle of giving. See. "Insomuch that we desired, Titus, that as he had begun, so he would also finish in you the same grace also." The grace of giving. "Therefore, as you abound in everything, you abound in faith, you abound in utterance, you abound in knowledge, you abound in diligence, and your love for us, see that you abound in this grace also. I speak not by commandment, but by occasion of the forwardness of others, and to prove the sincerity of your love." Notice, the principle of giving is love. Mark it, verse 9. "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that through his poverty you might be made rich." The principle of giving is love for the Savior. Love for the Savior. Love for the Savior. Not love for your denomination, not love for your preacher, not love for something else, for your programs, but love for him. And when you love for him, the rest will never suffer. Even Paul had to hold them back. They gave. "I didn't want your money. You can't afford it," said Paul. "You can't afford it." And these Macedonian Christians said, "We want you to have it. We've given ourselves to God and all that we are. And when we think of those poor saints in need down there in Jerusalem, we want to give out of the abundance of our poverty." Why? Because they loved the Lord. And remember, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, this grace of giving, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that you through his poverty might be made rich. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. 1 John chapter 4, verses 9 and 10, "Herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his precious Son, his only begotten Son, into the world, that we might live through him. He sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins." What's behind it all? Love. He who was rich, he owned everything. The universe belongs to him. He owned everything. He became poor. Our Savior took his place in the human family and became poor, that you might be rich. Listen, my friend. If I may quote from Matthew chapter 8, a certain scribe said, "I'll follow you wherever you go." And Jesus said, "You will? The foxes have their holes. The birds of the air have their nest. The Son of Man hath not where to lay his head." I haven't a place down here I can call home. He became poor. One day, if I may quote again from Matthew chapter 16, or chapter 17, pardon me, right after he came down from the Mount of Transfiguration, somebody, one of these tax gatherers, came to Paul, to Peter, and said, "Peter, how are you going to pay your taxes?" They were on tax to Rome. Here's the Lord of heaven in the human race, owing everything. He could take 5 loaves and feed 5,000. He could turn water into wine. He could still the storms, raise the dead. "What about paying your taxes?" Peter came to him. The Lord Jesus said, "Peter, take a hook, cast it into the lake. The first fish you get, open his mouth, you'll find some money in there, and you pay your taxes for you and for me." He became poor, that you and I might be rich, rich in eternal verities, rich toward God. I'm not talking about material riches, my friend. They come and go. You can be a millionaire and be the most miserable man on earth. You can be poor in this world's goods and be rich toward God. Have a peace and a comfort and a wonderful experience with the living God. And looking forward to the time when you'll be an heir of God and a joint heir with Jesus Christ. Not an heir of things down here on earth, material things, but the whole universe. Because our Savior, according to Hebrews chapter 1, is the heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds. And you remember, in Romans chapter 8, we've been made heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ Jesus. Rich, rich, my friend. And I'm down here and you're down here, Christian friend. You're children of God. And you've got a responsibility. And God doesn't want your gifts unless it's the footage of your love for him. I want you to mark that. You see, in John chapter 14, 21 and 23, we manifest our love by obedience. You remember those two verses? "He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me." Verse 23, "If a man love me, he will keep my word." Obedience to the word is a manifestation of our love for the Savior. But my giving of material things is also a manifestation of my love for the Savior. How much do I love him? It'll manifest it by joyful giving. Love is the principle of giving. Not somebody over you with a club, or writing you a letter, telling you all kinds of things that they need. No. Love. Do you love the Savior? Do you love his people? Then you'll give. Not because you have to. Because you love to. Because you love for him. "He, though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that we through his poverty might be made rich." And herein I give my advice, says Paul. "For this is expedient for you who have begun before, not only do, but also to forward." A year ago I ought to you about your giving. You should have it ready. We haven't picked it up yet. "Now therefore perform the doing of it, that as there was a readiness to will, so there may be a performance also out of that which you have." God doesn't ask for anything you don't have. For the next verse says, "For if there be first a willing mind, it is accepted according to that a man hath, and not according that he hath not." And here you have, from verses 12 to 15, the exercise of giving. Willing hearts, yes, but we are to give according to our capacity. Someone has an abundance of these world's goods. and an abundance of things. So they give according to their capacity. Another one has practically nothing. And God doesn't expect you to give if you haven't it. Do you love Him? And then you'll give because you love. And you'll give according to your capacity. Now here you have these Jerusalem saints in great need. The Corinthian church were materially wealthy. Now, as you had a will a year ago, now perform that will. You promised a year ago you were going to give something, and now you get it ready, as we shall see throughout the chapter how he works that out. But for the present, let me leave it with you this today. The example of giving, the source of the giving, you give yourself first to the Lord and then to us by the will of God. And then we have the principle of giving. We are to give because we love Him. And then we have to, the exercise of giving. We give because of our willingness to God and our capacity to give. God does not expect you to give what you haven't got. But my friend, if you do have it, He expects you to give. I'm going to leave it right there for the present. I want to follow along in our next lessons in chapters 8 and 9 on the grace of giving. I believe it's a much misunderstood exercise for the Christian, the grace of giving. And as Paul said to the Corinthian church, do not be lacking in this grace also. He wants you and me to give because we love Him. May the Lord bless you today for His wonderful name's sake.